Hey Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Hey
Fantastic.
folks. So this week I got with me Mike Vermace. Mike is a chaplain with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. And Mike was a preacher for a long time before that, correct?
I was a pastor.
Pastor, preacher. Preacher sounds like you're preaching at people, right? Is that why you
It
call it a
does.
pastor?
Well, a pastor is more of a, I look at it as more as a pastor is a shepherd. A
Okay.
preacher is one who stands there to talk. And man, my heart is shepherding and kind of caring for the people. And not to say that preachers aren't, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. But that's kind of where I see my role and how my role has been.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure that I'm calling you the right things here, you know. So,
You are.
okay. And before that, I understand you had a short career with Kool-Aid.
Oh man. Yeah. How did you hear about that? So,
I know things. I know things. Some of it's confidential, I'm not allowed to share, but
yeah, right. Yeah, long time ago, I was Mr. Kool-Aid man and many, many years back. So,
yeah.
you were all everybody listening was probably a young kid, so or not even born when I was the Kool-Aid man.
You're like the original flavored stuntman.
I was one of them, so yeah, my Mountain Berry Punch was still my favorite. So,
Nice. All right. Oh, geez. Anyway, I had to make sure to bring that up, and I didn't want to forget about it, so I had to bring it up early.
yeah, I
So,
didn't know. I had no idea you knew. So,
did you actually say the words, "Oh yeah," or
no,
somebody else
I
did that,
didn't
huh?
say anything. I literally was just that was a voice that was put into it. I ran around in a suit and shook hands and saw people and went to events and ran through
Nice.
walls and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. So you can't do
Actually,
the
I ran
voice?
through.
Or
I
can you do the
can't.
voice?
I can't.
Okay. Well,
No,
I won't
it
push
was
any
a
further
made
about
up
that.
voice. But the Super Bowl, I thought it was the best Super Bowl commercial out of all of them was when Mr. Kool-Aid Man cried and his tear hit the ground and all of a sudden Mr. Peanut came back. Pretty much the best.
Oh man. Well, sometimes that's the best part about Super Bowl. I was pretty happy about the game itself, but you know.
The game was good, but
Yeah.
the commercial made it even better.
Nice. Nice.
So
Brought back some memories.
it did. Thank you for asking.
Good. Good. Okay, well tell me about yourself, Mike. What's your background?
Background, I was a pastor for the last almost 30 years. I started chaplaincy about 15 or 16 years ago. And about 2 years ago, 2 years ago in June, we went full time as chaplain. So I served the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office and Oregon City Police Department and Lake Oswego Police and Fire. And so, and a little bit still with Clackamas Fire, but I became a chaplain, started working with Clackamas Fire originally. I feel like God kind of threw me a bone. Originally, I went to college to be a forensic pathologist and went into started going to college and realized that I could do a lot of different things, but God really moved my heart towards ministry. Thought about military chaplaincy and didn't do that. I feel like later in life, God threw me a bone, so to speak, and allowed me to work with a group of folks that I feel very attuned with and very much part of. And just it was a really unique piece of God's grace for both me and also our whole family. It's kind of a whole in chaplaincy. I believe that it's a whole family piece. So,
Very cool. Very cool. So, just to let you know, you're probably going to hear some cars honking. I'm in Miami right now at some training, and apparently this is, they have like the angriest streets in the nation or something, because all I hear all day up here is honking in my room. So apparently there's a lot of angry Floridians or whatever. So anyway, you're going to hear some horns honking, but try not to let it distract you, Mike. Okay. So,
thank you.
So what is it about chaplaincy that that you enjoy?
Originally, how I got into chaplaincy, I had a battalion chief who was a good friend of mine. I work with Clock Fire. He recently retired as a division chief, and Jamie Karn. And one Saturday night was just getting ready for services, and didn't really have a whole lot. And he said, "Hey, would you just come with me?" They had several suicides around two houses, and he said, "Why don't you just come with me?" And went in and sat down in those two houses and had coffee and some pie with those guys and just kind of talked, and really allowed me to see their heart for what they do and why they do it. After that, he said, "Would you consider being one of our chaplains? You're nice and normal." And I have no idea what nice and normal is, because I feel like I'm not nice and I'm certainly not normal. But from there, went and got some more training and Federation of Fire Chaplains and ICPC, International Conference of Police Chaplains, and some of my background with that just kind of went in just doing pastoral counseling and my counseling pieces from college and seminary. But it really just created an opportunity for me to get a chance to know a group of people that really want to put their whole life on the line. And then from going from the fireside, a few years after that, was asked to apply to be chaplain for the sheriff's office. And that's where that came about. And then applied, and they selected me. And what really I think attuned with police compared to fire is that never met a group that had, I felt, had the very similar calling as I had for ministry. And that was that they stepped in, they knew that they were meant to do that job. Even it wasn't about the paycheck, wasn't about anything. It was a job that they knew that they were kind of made to do. I think in ministry, and especially in what you do, sometimes it can be seen as thankless. I'm not saying that people don't thank you or any of those different pieces, because I feel very cared for, and I'm sure you do too. But it's one of those jobs that nobody calls you to say, "Hey, why don't you come on over for coffee and cake, or can I make you dinner for just doing a great job?" Where fire guys, man, no offense, they kick all your stuff in the front lawn and tear out all your windows, and everybody buys them pizza. But it's just not like that with police work, and that really resonated with my heart. And just got a chance. I spent a lot of time in the car with the guys and gals, and just have really thoroughly enjoyed it. Our chaplaincy kind of would look at, there's when I look at chaplaincy, there's kind of three types. There's chaplaincy where you're just kind of shepherds within that organization. And then there's one that does just community service and is there for notifications and community care. I'm kind of a hybrid of a little bit of both of those. So I will go and do notifications. And, you know, if it's up on the mountain this week for a climber that died and working with that family, or if it's also being with our officers and just kind of caring for them, it's kind of that mix, which I really appreciate. So. No day's the same, which to me is a little bit like what you all do. And so chaplaincy to me is, I feel like this is what I was made for, and I love it. Love getting a chance to just be let underneath the tape, so to speak, of people's lives, both within our the organizations and then also under the tape, and just kind of foot in the door of people who have gone through terrible things in the community too. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel very blessed.
Well, seems like you are.
So I am.
I appreciate you sharing the background, and that's important so that, you know, the listeners know who I'm talking to and why it should matter to them. So I'd kind of like to know your thoughts on how do I put this? What is the enemy's primary tool in attacking the guys you work with? What are you seeing as some stuff you're encountering? I mean, I know there's a lot of different stuff. I mean, marriages and depression and all this stuff, but.
I think in a long time ago, we had a gentleman who said, "Man, the three things that are going to always trip you up are the gold, the glory, and the girlies." And I think that same is very true, is that there is The money is one piece, which I think guys work a ton of overtime and just and sometimes neglect their family. And granted, I don't think it's all their fault. We live in a day and age where there's so many people that are retiring, and there's the lack of building up programs and budgets and funding issues and all those different pieces that are beyond the control of most people within organizations. But so that puts a crazy pressure on folks to be able to work so many hours. I think when it comes to that, that also leads to other issues, which can lead to divorce because there's no relationships. And then it can also lead to other pieces. It kind of fills in the box you're looking for.
Well, that's a nicer way to put it than, it was said when I was recruited, it was booze, broads, and bills. So,
yeah, right. Well, the three B's are the three G's, right?
Yeah.
And I think that those will just get you. And living a lifestyle that's a little bit above. I think I was just talking with somebody this morning, and we were just talking about when we first came in as chaplains, we gave away 88 Dave Ramsey kits, and it might even be more than that. But it was one of the best things. Is one of our guys said, "Hey, I'm debt free," and it was listening to tapes at night when he had a minute, and or the CDs, and then watching it and just buying into the system. And slowly, what I love about something like Dave Ramsey is that, Dave Ramsey is going to talk about the need for a relationship with Jesus, but he's going to slip it in there because as you start putting your life together, you're going to see that there is a gapping hole, and Jesus is the only one that can fill that hole and that desire in your life. So, man, I love those different pieces of how God can use something like just dealing with your bills.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something most of us have a hard time with, even, present company included. So, well, stupid bills.
I understand that.
But, that wasn't the answer I expected, but that's true. I think finances are a big thing and a struggle.
Well, and I know that it seems crazy, but I think finances end up being kind of one of those pieces that ends up hindering relationships and also allow you to be not able to deal with some of the other problems that you may be having. There are the other issues of the lack of care, and there are some addictions and some of those different pieces. And then there's the traumatic scenes and what guys and I say guys, please, I'm not trying to exclude any females on that. Guys or gals, but the men and women who serve, that they're going to experience. But that other bit of, I think that trauma it just gets compounded when you have other issues at home that you're not able to deal with, that because you might not have ever been taught how to do with a budget or how to be able to care for those things, or you end up working overtime and you're able to have a giant car payment because everybody has a big giant truck that's lifted 4 inches and a trailer and quads and all those different pieces. And I think that those are great. I just want everybody to use them instead of sitting in the garage. And it's the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Use those things so that you can get out there and really enjoy and relax and get restored within that, rather than it being a burden and not a blessing.
So I think you're the perfect guy to ask this question. So it was actually asked to me a while back, and I found a couple Bible verses to hopefully satisfy the question, but I'm going to ask you this question. Where in the Bible, or just in general, what is where does our authority come from as police officers, biblically speaking? Or do we have the authority, biblically speaking?
Oh, I believe you do. I think that one of the pieces that I would go to and just kind of run into is Romans chapter 13. where it talks about those in authority over you. And that whole chapter kind of breaks it down. I think there's a little bit in our culture. Let me go off 2 points. There's a bit of passivity that has been brought into the Christian culture today, and even sometimes in the church, that there's this part of wanting to be passive. Let me assure you that I believe every officer that I work with is very passive. They don't want to have to use their weapon or have to defend themselves, but they will step in the gap to defend themselves and most importantly, defend others who can't defend themselves. And so they have to be that person against the evildoer. And that's literally what Romans talks about. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, be very afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They're God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment against the wrongdoer. That is Romans 13:4. That is that peace. So that's the reason why we do have it. It says in 5, submit then to the authorities, not only because it's possible for punishment, but also a matter of conscience, meaning that we should know better because we've been taught discipline and accountability in our lives. But we live in a day and age that it's a fallen world, and there is not a lot of respect or care for authority. And we have a generation or multiple generations that I believe have not really been disciplined. No one said no. And that this is not okay, even though we feel it in our hearts, because down deep, if you ask somebody, is it wrong for me to hurt this person or rob them or any of those different pieces, they would say, yes, absolutely. But yet it still happens. And we live in that peace. There has to be individuals that are been given the authority from the government to stand in that gap. Sorry, it might seem a little loopy to sound preachy on that, but I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to kind of lay that context out.
No, the question's been posed, and I want to have a solid answer for folks. You know, you go into a profession and you want to know that you're doing God's work. So that's what we're looking for.
And then look through the context. There's always been people who had to stand in that gap. And they had to be there all the way from Genesis. Man, I could present to you kind of that case all the way from the Old Testament into the New Testament. There were those in authority that stood in that gap. Even the Levites and the priests guarding the gatekeepers, they weren't just guys who stood around in their little robes to guard. No, man, those were guys who could literally kick your ass. They were there. They were guards. They were ones in authority. They were those that stood the ground for what was right. You move forward and you have even an Acts, man, the Roman centurion who Paul was stuck with and was kind of hip to hip with. They stood in the gap for, yes, they were military, but that centurion stood in the gap for what was wrong and what was right. Because remember, they wanted to kill Paul and he said no. There's those who have to be that authority, and you can see it from the Old to the New Testament. So the hard part is that we live in a day and age where we're, like I said, the culture we swim in says, no, there is no authority that should be over you, and nobody needs to tell me no, but that's not true. We have to have people who stand in that gap. That's that precious. That's why the thin blue line is the thin blue line. It's not a matter of a blue family or that. It's that those people who have chosen to be that line between good and evil. At least that's my belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that gets kind of clouded, especially with the society and the way it's gone and kind of turned against officers. And I think the majority of them have not, but the minority of, society has been much louder. So,
yes. Yeah, and I think that's right. It's the minority. But I also think that those who are standing in that gap need to know that they're put in that authority for a reason. And that's why, you know, I kind of look at Romans 13. Yeah, it speaks about those in authority and the government. But then it goes and talks about everything from taxes, and then it goes about let no debt remain. But then it falls into the whole point of love. Love doesn't harm a neighbor. Love fulfills the law. That's the part that I think needs to also be put in there, is that We have this donor through the chaplaincy that I'm part of that it's called the Chaplain Fund. But really what it is, it's a community fund of money that this donor who went on a ride along, I don't know who they are, but they give it to our nonprofit. And because they saw that the officers literally opened up their wallet and said, these people are the most gracious people. These officers, when I was on the ride along, they bought food and they bought shoes for somebody. So they end up giving to this community assistance fund to stand in the gap. And so we give Visa cards and Fred Meyer cards, which is a local grocery store here in Oregon. And they literally use these cards to be able to buy what is needed. And man, this last year, officers used over $12,000 in these gift cards to be the hands and feet of Christ. That's the point of it. And I know some of our guys don't get it, but a lot of them do, man. They get to be the one who gets to be the hands and feet to bless somebody. Mm-hmm. And man, we've seen it buy shoes. We've seen them give rides. We've seen them mostly buy food or put somebody in a hotel for the night in a domestic violence issue. They've bought clothes, they've bought food, literally was with just this couple weeks ago, literally buying food for a family who lost a loved one who had nothing. And, man, that's the blessing. And it's all officers who are just gracious, who literally get to love people. And that's my point, is love fulfills and the law. And so what they're doing is they're getting a chance to really show love on that other side. And that's what people don't get a chance to see.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. They only see the worst of the worst that comes out in the media. And that's unfortunate, but it is the way it is. So.
Well, but all the line that we need to be, that's why I love your podcast, man, is all the more that as Christ followers, we need to stand in that gap and make sure it's known so people don't get discouraged and they don't lose hope. Because one of the things when you ask that question of where do you see some of the issues being with first responders is I think sometimes it's real easy to lose hope after a long time, long work schedules and issues and bills and all those other things that we spoke about, but making sure that they do not lose heart, and especially those that are Christ followers, don't lose heart, man, for we know that these days are evil, but there is a great hope that is with us, and we need to realize that and live in that and rest in that.
Oh yeah, for us, this is the worst it'll ever be.
Right.
So you've been with Clackamas County for a couple years now, you say?
Yep. I believe it's 10 or real close, or maybe a little over.
10 years?
Yeah.
So you're in a unique position, and every chaplain is in that you cannot overtly, I suppose, maybe is the word that I'm looking for here, share your faith mm-hmm. with the deputies in this case. So how do you deal with that? Because, I mean, like me, you want to. Yeah. And you know, especially the stuff you see, if somebody's struggling, it's got to be pretty tough for you not to say, you know, here's what scripture says. And
that's probably a little
let me pray with you.
Yeah, and that's probably a little easier for me because, man, I'm a chaplain, mm-hmm. is that I can say, hey, I will be praying for you. That doesn't mean I'm proselytizing. It just,
no. Yeah.
It's where it is. If somebody asks, hey, what do you think? And that's where conversations a lot of times will go. Then I do get a chance to stand in that gap and I can, the door is open.
Sure, yeah.
For me to share, but I'm pretty ecumenical. Mm-hmm. I'm there to love them like Jesus. And if I can love them like Jesus, then the conversation will end up coming up. And man, I guess it's a little also like that Francis Assisi, you know, share the gospel at all times. And if you have to use words, right? So
yeah.
I want to live the gospel. I want to share the gospel. And that doesn't mean that when somebody says, hey, how are you? Or how are things? I'm not going to lie and say, man, I'm great. Yeah, I'm okay. You know, things are okay. It's not the best day. It's not the worst day, but I'm staying vertical. You know, there's the realness of it. And then there's also the ability that we want to represent Jesus well. So that means I do have to protect my mind and my mouth because, man, I don't have the cleanest of mouth, as you're going to have to edit out the word already once, twice now. But it is in the Bible. So it doesn't justify it, but it's those different pieces where we get to be, my point is, we get to be and represent Christ. So, but I want to love people the best that I possibly can and shepherd them that way.
And of course, you're referring to that was talking, right? That one?
Yeah, because that's usually me. I'm just the that's talking. Who needs to shut up?
Oh, geez. So in your 10 years, well, I was thinking earlier, anything that's good is likely to come under attack, right? Because if it's good, the enemy isn't going to want it around.
Yeah.
So I have personally heard from deputies over there that, and not to inflate your ego, but that having you around has been pretty awesome. It's been a blessing, really. Have you noticed yourself coming under attack since having been there?
Yeah, I think that there's been issues in different pieces where easy to get discouraged, and I think that that's one of the ways that I just that attack happens for me is just man, even some stuff today and thinking, man, is it? And that's where I have to separate, man. Is it what's going on in the ministry? Is the work really moving forward, or is it just staying still? So yeah, and I think there's hindrances. So we have to work harder, pray harder, within marriage and family. And, you know, I'm a missionary. So there's times where you worry about, man, what's going to happen with, and that's where probably the evil one gets me is, being anxious and worry. And that's, he knows where I, you know, that why and how that really affects me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm learning more and more lately that his timing is not my timing. So,
oh man, isn't that the truth? And the devil will just eat your lunch, or make you eat his lunch sometimes for that.
Yep. So I don't want to keep you on here all night, but, I want to know, given your position as a chaplain and the fact that you can't just proselytize, what do you want to say to us? You know, to the non-believers, to the believers, what words do you have for the police officers, firefighters that you work with?
You know, it's interesting. I've been going through the Psalms lately and some personal devotion. And one of the things that I guess I would look at is, keeps going back is Psalm 25:1 says, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust." I would hope that everybody would trust the Lord, that when they're going and they're discouraged, that they, like it says in Psalm 121, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who the creator of heaven and earth, who does not let my foot slip or stumble because he cares for me. That they would cry out to God for help in their time of need, because God will listen. He cares for them, and that they would put their trust in him. That they would ask God to just show them, you know, please, God, show me your ways and teach me your path. Guide me, reach into me, because God wants to. There's no problem too big. There's no problem too small. You may feel like nobody cares about you. That's not true. The God who created you, who made you in his image, cares for you desperately. That would be one piece that I guess I look at, because I think it's really easy within, and you can speak to this, and maybe I'm in left field and you would say, hey, Vermace, you're out to lunch, but it's really easy, I think, to get discouraged. And I see a lot of guys that I would call living in the pissed off lonesome, which is just kind of walking around angry without even looking for any hope or just not smiling. It's not a matter of hope. I think it's just being discouraged and living in that discouragement, and it becomes normal. And it doesn't have to be. There are those different pieces. Lately at Roll Call has been even talking about that this study that was done that we learned from a few psychologists in our area, just talking about if you write down in the morning and in the evening three things that you're grateful for or thankful for, because happiness is really fleeting. You can be happy when you have a hamburger, and I'm just the happiest guy in the world after having a piece of chocolate cake. But happiness is fleeting. Once that chocolate cake is gone, it's easy to be unhappy again. But really, if we're Christ followers, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where do we find joy? And joy, I think, is deeper. It is that peace where it's that thankfulness and that gratefulness for the good things of what God has given us. And going down deep to be able to say, man, what am I joyful today? What am I thankful for? Three things, man, at the end of your shift is sit in your car before you turn it off or you give it the keys to the next person is, man, what are some three things that you can be joyful for before you go home? What are three things you can start your day and just say, man, I'm really grateful for this? And part of the neat process is that the way God made our brains is the elasticity and the serotonin and all the different onins and all the different chemicals begin to work and begin to rebuild when we just stop and be grateful and thankful. So man, what can you be thankful for? What are some of those things that you can just sit back and rest in and say, man, I'm really thankful that I have a wife or a husband that loves me. I have kids that are healthy and, that I get a chance to care for. I have a roof over my head. It's easy to say, well, my life is better than all the people that I see on the streets. Man, that's true. But let's get a little bit more peace, a little personal is, man, I'm grateful that I had a cup of coffee today, that I had a warm shower, that I get to hop into a warm bed. Some of those different things. I have a dog who wants to eat everything in my house, but yet he is happy to see me when I get home. Some of those simple little silly things that we take for granted that we just need to be thankful for. And I guess last would be, man, that God began a good work in you and he's faithful to complete it. So just rely on him and rest in him. And that resting in him is a big word because really that rest means I'm going to put my total confidence and peace. I'm literally going to lay down at his feet and know that it's going to be okay.
No, that's good. And it's spot on because there's a lot of us going through hard times. I mean, even personally, I've been going through some stuff, but I posted this verse on Instagram a couple days ago and it kind of ties right in because when things are going good, you feel like, okay, yeah, this is awesome. You know, God's with me right now. When things aren't going so good, we tend to think, where are you, God? But that's not what the Bible says. You know, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I was led to this verse here. I think it was last week. It says, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. And that's Isaiah 50, verse 10. Well, part of verse 10. And it just kind of brought me back to the ground and to reality that just because I'm having a hard time doesn't mean that I'm further from God. It doesn't mean that at all. God's right there with me regardless. So it's just a matter of trust. And like I said, our timing's not his timing. And just because I'm not living in the sunshine like I am right now in Miami all the time, it doesn't mean anything.
And so that's why we can say, you know, there's that read earlier this passage in Hebrews, and that's where we can say in confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. Mm-hmm. God wants to be that helper, but we just need to lean and ask. You talk about when times are good. I think when times are good, I can rest with God. When the times are bad, I tend to try to nut it out on my own and do it on my own and scheme and work my own way to be able to figure out what and how instead of just trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That Proverbs 3:5-6. And as I get older, that passage is, we taught it to our kids when they were little but now I look at it this side of 50 and go, man, that's really means a lot more to me that I can trust the Lord with all my heart. So what does that really mean? And to lean not on my own understanding because I don't know anything, but I need God's help in everything.
Yeah. Well, C.S. Lewis said God whispers to us in our joys and just screams to us in our trials, right? So,
So how's he screaming to us now?
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about trials on here, but it just keeps coming back around. So I think it's necessary.
Well, I think it is because this is a unique audience. It's an audience that understands everybody. It's kind of, was at church last Saturday night and got up during service because I got called out and was able to take care of it. And all the officers who saw me leave came up and asked, "Man, is everything okay? You know, are all the guys all right? Is everybody okay?" Because they just know that, hey, they know me, and they know that I probably wouldn't get out of church and walk out. And I say that to say that I think this podcast is that way too. This is a unique audience who can understand unique struggles that are only unique to them. It doesn't mean that we all don't face certain pieces and things that is just like everybody else. We do, but it's a little different every day. Every day, this is a group of people who, you know, open the door and have to care for a family who just lost a loved one, or found their loved one had just passed, or they're the ones who show up at an accident and have to comfort somebody as they're going through extreme trauma or thinking that they're going to not make it. It's this kind of stuff where most people, they don't. That's the thin blue line. You are on this side of the line, so you're exposed to a whole nother set of trials and tribulation that most people don't ever see because of this gap.
That's true. Well, I'm going to ask you a favor here in just a second, but before I do that, so I am at this training over here, and one of the things that keeps coming up, because it's terrifying, is that in 2019, there were reportedly 228 officers who took their own lives. Now there were 130 some odd who were killed in the line of duty. I mean, that's a huge gap. In fact, suicides surpassed heart disease as the number one killer of cops. So I think if you're willing, and I don't think you have a choice, would you pray for us before we sign off of here?
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's pray. God, we are grateful that you are a good, good God who loves us and knows us. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, for this audience today, whoever listens to this, Lord, I pray that if they're struggling with something, that they would just look to you and say, God, I need your help. Lord, you know the help that they need, so be that help. If it's in marriage, if it's with their children, if it's in finances, if it's with their department struggles, if it's an IA, whatever it is, Lord, you know the help that they need. Please provide it and come quickly, that they would be able to see your hand and how much you love and care for them. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that never comes to an end. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.